scripture reading today is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." And then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. This has been the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. I want to talk about rules. We all have rules in our lives that we follow. Athletes have to follow rules, right? There are rules in sports. If you're going to play the game, you need to play by the rules. I usually learn new rules a lot of times. If you're like me, you're watching maybe football, and they've got, in addition to the couple of commentators, they've got like a rules expert. And so when there's a controversial penalty or something, they've turned to the rules expert to say, you know, well, this goes this way or this goes that way. This is the actual rule. And so there are rules in sports. There are rules, of course, in government. And so during the interesting times in government we've been through of late, we'll say, some of us have maybe learned some new rules, or we've been reminded of rules that are part of the government, so we can understand better what's going on. One of the interesting places where there are rules is driving. And some of us, of course, are reminded of those rules the hard way, the expensive way, sometimes when we break those rules. But it's interesting to me when I'm driving, sometimes I think, you know, there's a strip of paint, a stripe of paint down the road that's keeping us from smashing into each other. I mean, hopefully there's more than that in the sense of sensibility and reason, but if that's it, you know, that stripe of paint down the middle of the road, down highway for hundreds, thousands of miles, that's what it is. That's what keeps us separated. But we follow those rules for the most part. We stay on the correct side, ideally, of the paint. In Christianity, there are rules. There's a tradition of different interpretations of rules, of holding people. People in power holding the religious people to one rule or another. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. This is what's a book called The Rule of St. Benedict. The Rule of St. Benedict. It's not very thick, you can see, and a lot of it is introduction and background material. Benedict of Nursia was a Christian in the, largely active in the 500s, and he in Italy. And he founded a monastery, basically, and what became many monasteries, and what is sort of considered an order, but that's not quite right. But anyway, the Rule of St. Benedict, he wrote this rule to govern, to order the life of these monks, of these Christians, who were going to live in community together. And so the Rule of St. Benedict covers everything from prayer and humility and all kinds of deep things about meditation and whatever, but there's lots of stuff about how the monks should dress, how much wine they're allowed to drink every day, what food they're supposed to eat, all kinds of very practical things in the Rule of St. Benedict from the 500s. This is from John Wesley. Methodists have rules as well that John Wesley wrote about in the 18th century. And in fact, I'll put a link on our Facebook page to the general rules of the Methodist societies, the general rules of the Methodist societies, which is what the churches, the gatherings were called before we were our own denomination, when we were part of the Anglican Communion. So if you want to go on the Facebook page, church Facebook page, you can check that out or just Google it or whatever. But the general rules of the Methodist societies were some basic guidelines, and Pastor Amy talked about those basically in the children's time a little bit ago. And Bishop Reuben Job kind of boiled it down in this little book called Three Simple Rules, A Wesleyan Way of Living, to these ideas. And that is, do no harm, do good. And Wesley said, attend on all the ordinances of God. And so Bishop Job kind of rephrased that to stay in love with God, which is, I don't want to say, kind of an oversimplification or whatever, but really, I mean, it's how simple is it really to stay in love with God? It's sometimes not as simple as we might think. So that's a good guideline. And that's what the ordinances of God are really getting at, is staying in love with God. So do no harm. And Wesley articulates what some areas of harm would be, including at that time owning slaves. Don't own slaves, which was pretty radical in 1739 when he was writing this. Do good, and so he talks about some of the ways that we could do good, and then attend on the ordinances of God, or stay in love with God, and Wesley articulates some of the ways of staying in love with God. So those are the general rules of the Methodist societies, the rules for Methodists. So we have rules too. But all of this is getting at one particular thing, and that is the rule of Jesus. And Jesus has one rule. Everybody stick your thumb up. Let's say it's a rule of thumb. But one rule, be love. Be love. That's Jesus' rule. Be love. Jesus taught a lot of things, made up a lot of parables to help explain guidelines for living in God's kingdom, for life together with God. He modeled all kinds of things in his public ministry, modeled life with God, modeled what the kingdom of God looks like by receiving all kinds of people from the margins and bringing them into fellowship, into the family, and healing people who are broken of one way or another, inside and out, whether their bodies or their mind, their spirit. All kinds of things, of course, Jesus did. But it all boils down to, as he said, loving God with your whole being, and then living out that love toward the people around you in the real everyday living that you step into every day. Be love. Be love. And so we've been sort of talking about a rule for Western Hills United Methodist Church, a rule of living. And you can see it on the screens. Belong, believe, be useful, and all of this is a way of being love. And so I want to hold our rule alongside the way Jesus explains his rule of being love, and you see how they come together in love. But the way we're looking at it is first belong. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. With all of your heart. And he didn't mean that muscle in the middle of your chest, or he didn't mean just with warm, fuzzy emotions or whatever, the way we kind of talk about heart in our songs today or whatever. For Jesus, the heart was the will, the center of the will. And so when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, he's saying, will what God wills. Align your purpose, your goals, your reason for being, your raison d'etre. Align that with God. Will what God wills. And so that's what it is for us to belong. The way we're articulating that in our rule as Western Hills is to belong. You're not going to belong accidentally. A lot of us think about things that you belong to. You belong to maybe a civic organization of one kind or another, or a club of some kind. And you belong to your work organization. You belong to your family. All kinds of areas where we belong. But even in your family, in all these areas, you really have to belong on purpose. You have to will your belonging. The way we kind of talk about that in the Methodist Church and in churches in general is by our membership vows. Membership vows. And that may sound dry and boring or whatever, but let me connect our membership vows to the idea that the church is not just another civic organization that you might belong to. The church is the living body of which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, is the head. In the end of all things, everything will be shaken, everything will be shaken away, and only the unshakable will remain. And that unshakable is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the church in them. That is actually the center of the universe, despite how things often seem, despite what our culture tells us. So to belong to the church, when we take those vows, and let me just say, if you have taken those vows officially, or if you just consider Western Hills your church home, we're sort of expected to live according to those vows, which include supporting the church with our prayers, praying for the church, our presence, showing up, prayers, presence, our giving, give to the church. We encourage the tithe, 10%, if you can shoot for that. But if you give nothing, then taking a step toward giving something regularly is part of it. That's why we do it in worship. We just did that a little bit ago, because it's an act of worship. As a friend and I were just talking about, having some skin in the game. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus knew that the things we treasure, our money or whatever, need to come into alignment with God. So your prayers, your presence, your giving, your service, finding a way and a place to serve, and your witness, showing and speaking a good word about Jesus Christ and about his church, Western Hills, your church. And so to intentionally, purposefully, to live on purpose and purposefully belong is an act of the heart, is part of loving God with our whole heart, our will, to support the church, to be part of the church, to give yourself to belonging to the people around you. That's really what it comes down to. When you uphold your vows, when you support the church with your prayers and your presence and your giving and your serving and your witness, you are upholding your role as part of this family. That's why it matters. It's not just membership dues. And it's always funny to me how we don't think twice a lot of times about, I mean, my family pays $100 or whatever a year to the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, and is in the world, is that right? Or at least in America, and Amazon. And we don't think twice. They just take it out of our account. You know, we abide by the rules. You may have membership dues at some organization that you're part of. And in order to be part of the organization, you pay your membership dues. You show up at least sometimes for a meeting or whatever. You know, you try to say a good word about the organization and encourage other people to be part of it. You know, those sorts of things. But then when it comes to the church, we've got people we haven't seen in years who are members of the church. And this isn't to rag on them. This is just to say, let's invite them back. Let's reach out to these people. Anyway, you get the idea. To belong, everybody has a place. And when we participate in the life of this church, we're playing our role in the family. So belonging. Now, real quickly, believing. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with your whole mind, by which Jesus means your thinking and your feeling. Your thinking and your feelings. Your emotions. Loving God with all your mind. We talked a few Sundays ago about how belief leads to life. John, toward the end of his gospel, writes that I've written all of these, I've told all these stories and put up these signs about Jesus so that you might believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that through believing you will have life in his name. Belief leads to life. We become what we believe. Or as we believe, so we become. And so our beliefs come largely from knowledge and experience. Most of what we believe in the world, about the world, our worldview, comes from knowledge, from what we've learned, and from our experience. People can tell us one thing, but if our experience repeatedly shows us something else, then that might change what we believe. So we must purposefully devote ourselves to learning and living the way of Jesus learning and living the way of Jesus. And I am here to have conversations with you about your different learning styles. You may not learn so much from the sermons. You may not learn so much from Bible studies as they are traditionally held, you know. Maybe you're not an analytic type or whatever. There are different, we have different learning styles. But learning and living the way of Jesus are essential to life. As we believe, so we become. Next, be useful. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength, all your strength. Be useful. And when Jesus talks about strength, he is talking about your body. Jesus cares about your body. But your bodily life also includes, when Jesus says that, he means your power. The influence you have in the community, the influence you have, the role you play in your family, in the civic organizations, in the community, as well as your material possessions and your money. All of this is part of your power. And so Jesus says, be purposeful about directing all of your power, all of your strength toward the Lord in love. Love God with your whole body, your possessions, your money, your influence, power in the community, all of that directed toward the life of the church, God's kingdom mission. And finally, be love. Be love. Belong, believe, be useful. And again, about being useful, we are here to help you discover your gifts. Employ your passions in the service of the Lord. Because all of this, both with the church and especially in the community, because all of this culminates in being love. Be love. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with your whole soul. The soul is your life, your aliveness, the essence of your being. You are this ceaseless, spiritual, eternal being. That is your soul. And your soul integrates the rest of your life. The direction of your soul pulls your mind and your heart, your will, and your bodily life, and your power and priorities, all of that. The direction of your soul can either be withering and dying or alive and growing. And so when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with your whole soul, what he is saying is, belong, believe, be useful. And as you will do these things with your brothers and sisters, the church, your family, God's family, you will find yourself being love. You will become like God. In case you hadn't heard, that's what you're made for. You are made in the image of God. You are made to be like God, to live like God, to become new creatures in Jesus Christ that are like God. And John tells us in his first epistle, 1 John, God is love. Nice. Let's say it. God is love. One more time. God is love. If we are becoming like God, what does that make us? Nice. Be love. And these are actions. These are things that we can purposefully do with this community of believers. Find your way of belonging. Give yourself to believing. Find your passions and your gifts and be useful in God's kingdom mission with your brothers and sisters. It's fun. It's fun. It's a great way to get to know people, serving together. And as we do this, we become more and more like the God who is love. And so let me just finish by saying this. There is a place for you and for everyone you know and people you haven't met yet. But I'll stake my life on it. There is a place for you and everyone you know to belong, to believe, and to be useful in Western Hills with this company of believers, this family of God right here. And we're not the only ones, we're not the only place, but you're here right now, so why not? Now, why would you do that? Why would anybody else do that? Why would they choose among this family to look for, to find their place to belong, to find what they believe, to find their place to be useful, to find love? Ah, the answer is in the question. Because everyone is looking for a place to belong, because everyone is looking for something to believe in, because everyone is looking to be useful, everyone is looking for love. And so to come full circle back to one of our founders, John Wesley, and the rule of Methodists, he has this phrase that I love, that is descriptive. It's a descriptive phrase. This is what the Methodists do. They watch over one another in love. Watching over one another in love. Think about that for a minute. You like that? I like that. Watching over one another in love. Imagine if that's what, and let's just start with the Methodists, but I really mean all the church, just Christians. Imagine if that's what we were known for in our culture. Imagine if everybody in America, in Western culture, around the world, if they heard Christian, what they think of is, oh, love. If they hear the word church, they think, oh, that's the place where everybody watches over one another in love. Is that an idea you can get on board with? And I'm looking for some bright eyes and some nods. Or not. I'm not pushing you, but that's an idea I like. I'm staking my life on that. I like the idea of being a family who is watching over one another in love. And I think a lot of people out there would like that idea also. So let's show them. And let's not be afraid to tell them. What do y'all do at church? I don't go to church anymore. Well, we watch over one another in love. Come find out what that's like. Now, we bicker. We're hypocrites. We struggle. And there's always room for more hypocrites, more bickerers, more strugglers. So don't stand out there and judge. Just come on in and be another one. We're watching over one another in love. And it ain't easy. And it's not going to happen accidentally. So let's join together. Belonging, believing, being useful, and being love. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Loving Lord, as we come to this table, help us to remember that we don't come alone. And we don't come because of anything that we have done or not done. We come by your grace. And your grace welcomes all. So we love you, Lord, and we give ourselves to you, that like you, we might be love. We know we have a long way to go, Lord. But help us to begin to take those first steps that the world might know that we are yours by the love we have for you and for one another. In your powerful, life-changing name, Jesus. Amen.